This is KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department. This is Campus Connection. It's our call-in show. We're talking with the school board members about tonight's agenda. And I'm joined in the studio today by Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter, as well as Board President Sarah Holmgren and Mara Lutomski of the school board. Welcome to you all. And let's see, things are still busy over at the school, even though the kids have left. Erica, it looks like custodians and the crews over there are hard at work.
Yes, you've probably seen some things outside the window here that are coming out of a room. And
there's some digging going on in the back there.
There's some digging for some fiber work that's being done out back under a part of our E-rate contract and making some changes back there. So that's going on. And yeah, it's busy as ever, just no kids.
All right. This is the last regular board meeting before kind of a summer break, although you have a special meeting coming up later at the end of this week. So no meeting in July. Mm-hmm. But let's dive in. You have a full agenda and lots to talk about, including a possible increase in activity fees. Who would like to field this one? What's the reasoning behind this?
I could give you a little information on it if you want.
Sure.
So we have, as looking at all different kinds of budgets, we've done a really good job of staying within our activity budget this year and last year with a lot of work, a lot of positive affirmation should go out to Mr. Cabral. He works really hard to do that, and it takes a lot of time. Our fees have not been raised for a while. We have looked around at the different schools, comparable size schools, and also looking at that cap, which was something that actually Mr. Cabral brought in a few years ago, which I think was a really good idea for especially large families, which is what it was intended for. Our fees are still quite reasonable and really on the low side, and we don't want to have fees that preclude any kids from being able to participate, but the fact is, you know, dealing with crazy ferry schedules and having to do more flying at different times and just the cost in general for referees and, you know, activities are expensive. And we actually offer still quite a few, even comparable to different sized communities. We offer more than some.
More choices of mm-hmm. activities.
Yep, which is great. So then that does help, I think, with that cap still. That there, if kids are participating in several, or you have several in your family, you're still capped there at the 500. So,
and is there still any opportunity for any scholarship for families or students
absolutely.
Who can't afford it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. And same with even equipment and that sort of thing. If kids come in, there's opportunities for kids to actually work for it. There's community service opportunities, and we do have some kids who apply. They need to do something for it. Which is something that we've asked, and we've had kids do that, and then they've been able to participate. So, yeah.
All right, mm-hmm. Sarah, how about your thoughts on that activity fee increase?
Well, it goes in line also with the kids that don't go to school here full time. They're at $500 per. I think it's at a maximum mm-hmm. of $500. Mm-hmm. So it brings up our kids whether they're homeschooled and participate only in mm-hmm. extracurricular activities, or they're part-time students, or even just full-time students. So then it's kind of more in line with, and I think that $500 came up from after assessing how much it costs if a kid was in an average of, I think, three activities
mm-hmm.
with all the travel and subsidizing the coach being gone, and so that's where that $500 came up. So it does seem only appropriate to have our full-time students or even part-time students that are in several activities to help, I guess, subsidize that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Mara, any thoughts on that increase?
No, it'll be exciting. Well, I don't know about exciting, but it'll be interesting to hear Jamie talk about it tonight. So.
Okay. We'll also hear from Jamie on some changes to activities and policy, drug policies mm-hmm. Is this a region-wide, statewide kind of change to what's happening there?
Yeah, there was some changes made at the state level at ASA, at the Activities Association, related to the third and fourth offenses under the tobacco, alcohol, and drug component of for activities. And he'll talk a little more, he and Rick both will tonight, but and there's some, they want some input, you know, from the board as well, but currently the third offense is a year out of an activity with no option for a reduction at all. And the fourth offense is you are done. There's no opportunity. So the possibility of discussion is that they have changed some wording for the third offense, that if a student wants to apply for a reduction up to 6 months, there's about five things they need to do. And one of them is they need to address the board. There's 30 hours of community service. There's they have to seek out licensed counseling and have an actual statement from that counselor. There's another education component. I mean, it's a fairly substantial list. We don't have to do it. We want some feedback from the board and the community about that. And then also on the fourth offense, they have made it possible that there's no reduction possible on a fourth offense, but you could make a decision as a district to allow students to still participate after that year. Most kids never. It's a very small percentage for actually both of these issues. And in fact, really the change, and Jamie can address this more specifically, but the change with the third offense really is because tobacco is included in the TAD, in that tobacco, alcohol, and drug. It often is a tobacco offense that, you know, that a student could be out for a year for a tobacco offense, which is the same punishment as an alcohol or drug offense. So there's maybe some discussion about either pulling the tobacco component out and then maintaining the rest of the policy, or, you know, going ahead and just allowing for that reduction if a student, you know, chooses to do that. So it's good discussion. There's some flexibility. Our standards in the district here have always been a little more strict than the state, which I personally think is important.
Board members, what do you think? You already hear appeals from students who are trying to get reinstated. Do you want to take this on for a third offense?
I'm inclined to, just because I think of if kids are, you can, we have seen it, although it's been rare in the 7.5 years. I think I've only had two students come up to us in those 7.5 years and request. And you have seen an absolute personality change and a change in direction in their lives from the time they were 14, 15 and made those mistakes to a 17-year-old. And you can have the flip side, too, but a lot of times it's those young ones that make poor decisions because they're kind of overwhelmed with high school or whatever is going on in their life. And I hate to not give them the opportunity if they go through several steps, because then they have to go through those steps before they can even get to us and say, look, I screwed up when I was 14, 15. I mean, we've had kids that would, you know, have a drinking violation, and then a month later they have another one over the summer because they're not even thinking about school. And I hate to think that by their junior year they may not even be able to be in activities because they screwed up again. I do like the idea of pulling the tobacco out, because smoking, we all know smoking a cigarette is completely different than having several drinks. Or having a different, you know, like an illegal drug, and how it influences your body. And that can be, you know, although all addictive, especially if a kid is living in a home where there's smoking going on, it may be even harder for them to resist that temptation, knowing it's around. I don't know, I guess I'm still kind of undecided. It'll be good discussion to figure out what would work best, but I think we can all, and I think most people would agree, a tobacco violation is significantly different than a DUI or DWI when puts other people in danger.
How about you, Mara?
It will be a good discussion, because there is kind of, you know, that fine line between whether you want to cut someone off from the things that they are vested in school, and then possibly lose them to dropping out because they no longer have the one thing that they come to school for, and, you know, whether we should invest in that to keep them to graduation versus you've made too many mistakes and now it's all over for you. So at least that, you know, with the idea that you can work back towards it, that is appealing, that we can still keep that attachment to that student and instead of just lose them altogether. So
do you have to actually vote anything in to make these changes or not, or just give direction to?
It doesn't really have to be voted per se, but it's changing the word in there to may on the third offense, which is what ASA has changed the wording to. So it allows that flexibility. You could take may out of there completely, and we could. I mean, if the board just said we don't want that word in there and we're just going to leave really leave it as is. We don't want to be involved in trying to make these decisions every six, you know. So from that perspective, there could be action along that line. I think it's important to have the public conversation about it, just so, you know. And if they want that responsibility, and like Sarah said, in my time here, I think there's only been two or three. It's not like we have a lot of kids that reach this 3 and 4 level offense.
Most figure it out after the first one.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Or sometimes
or
it's
even
the second one.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. 772-3808 is our phone number. Call in with a question or a comment. Also tonight on the agenda, the student handbooks for all three schools. And I was just paging through the proposed new handbooks, and the changes I saw were in personal electronics in the high school, and what else? And also this issue we were just talking about with suspensions. Are there any other big changes in the handbooks as you see? And there's no big change in the dress code, which has been an issue this year.
Mm-hmm. There's no major changes. Actually, the electronics information that was added to both of those is currently what is in the tech agreement. It just hadn't been included in there as well, so we thought that that was important to put it there. The dress code issue, it is at this point, the code itself is the same that it's been. And the group will be regathering, if you want to call it that, in the fall again. So at this point, there's no change there. And then there was some language, like you said, added in there about dealing with the TAD policy. And, yeah, some discussion about that and a few other changes that might have to do with some homework policies and things like that. But there, yeah, Jamie and Rick can address some of those, too.
And that also is not a voting thing. It's just something you review as a board on an annual basis at this time of year. Okay. Mm-hmm. To get them in place for the upcoming school year, which is a couple months away. You don't have to think about that quite yet. But, Erica, you probably already are.
We're already there.
you have a bunch of personnel hires to get people lined up for the upcoming year.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And does that take care of your staff? Are you still hiring more people, or...?
I think at this point we have everybody. We've our new math teacher and new language arts Spanish teacher have both arrived here in town, and have come in and are getting settled in and finding housing and getting settled in the buildings and getting keys. And actually, we met with the math teacher yesterday, and that was fun. And she's excited. And then we have hired a few of our classified staff as well to round out some support needs in the district. So I think we're actually sitting pretty well right now, which is good. Took a lot of work this spring for hiring committees to find just the right people. So we're excited.
All right. Not really adding anybody. I think it was a few people that resigned.
These are both
to fill in.
Retirements and replacements that way. Mm-hmm. So both Rowan and and Joyce are replacements, I guess, for people who have retired or moved on. So we're looking forward to it. They both come with good experience too, which is nice. And they're super excited to be here. They're both coming from Metlakatla, and we didn't intentionally raid the district, but they just, they're both great. So.
All right. The board will be voting on an increase in pay for substitute teachers. And can you talk about the need for this?
I can, if you want, and Mara could weigh in here a little bit, too. This kind of came up during some contract negotiations this spring, but it's been, the classified sub rate hasn't been raised for about 6 years. It was, had previously was below $10 an hour and had been raised to $10.25. We're proposing to raise it to $10.75. It's difficult to get good qualified people who want to come even for $10.75, to be honest. It's a lot of work. And we, our classified staff works very hard, and our subs, they kind of have to come in and jump in with both feet too. So it's still probably not enough, but it's acknowledging, I think, that it needs to be adjusted. The other thing that came up, and it's been something we've wanted to do for a while, even when I was principal, I wanted to do it. But when we have some of our classified staff or even teaching staff that retire and they stay in town and they are fabulous, they, you know, they know the system, they know the kids, they know, and they come back and they do a lot of subbing for us, and our teachers will even come back and sub for classified staff, and our retired aides sometimes will offer to, and that experience is really invaluable. And so we would like to be able to pay them a little bit more, actually, because I think they should be paid more. So we're proposing that we pay them at the rate, which is the beginning salary rate, base zero, minus 50 cents, which is actually a probationary rate that all new hires come in at. So this acknowledges their years of experience. We have some 20, 25, 30-year people who retire from here and come back and sub for us. So we just wanted to acknowledge it. So I don't know if Mara has anything else to add during negotiations, but...
It was a topic that came up during the negotiations, the fact that our staff finds it difficult to be away from school because there is such a, I'm sure you've heard it several times, the district needs subs. If you would like to substitute for the district, you know, call in. And so hopefully this increase will be more appealing to people who would like to fill into those difficult positions. And the retired staff members that have that experience, we are paying them more for their experience as well. And so that step rate zero, which really isn't much really, still is more and goes towards their valuable assets that they bring to the substitution position.
Sarah, anything to add on that?
No, I think it's great. Okay. I'm glad we can do it.
Another vote you'll be taking on tonight is a course in the high school on the Vietnam War. A couple board members wanted to hear a little bit more about what was planned for the offering. And I see in the packet a full rundown of what Jim Engel plans to teach. He has been teaching on Vietnam War in, as part of a year-long history course, but wants to break that out and have a whole semester on it. Sarah, I think you had questions about what he asked about.
No, it was Megan.
Oh, Megan, sorry.
And I think Mara might have had a few questions. No, I have. I already had one daughter go through the school system and had Jim at least twice, I think. And just knowing, you know, I felt pretty confident that he would do a great job and would provide an unbiased instruction on the topic. So, but it's, you know, it's been great though because we've had even gotten more information than that first night when he was there or the last board meeting. He has sent out, like you said, the syllabus and a full description on everything, and it looks like it'd be a great class to take. Mm-hmm. So,
and Mara, how about you? You like what's proposed?
I do. And that evening, you know, it was just unfortunate that he had left before we got to that topic of discussion, because I think that everything would have been, you know, solved and there wouldn't have been any holdover whatsoever. We just had, you know, specific questions that Rick couldn't answer that night, and Jim was able to answer those when we followed up with him later. And it sounds like it'll be a great class, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot of kids clamoring for it to get into it.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like he said he'd be offered the second, I think, second semester of next year.
Okay. And is that upper level for the older grades, or is it?
It's an elective, so okay. It's maybe probably sophomore, more for sophomore possible and up.
Sophomore. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. In other discussions, Erica, you're going to talk about a district survey that happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
That's just, we try to put one out. Dr. Thomason actually started it several years ago, too, and just to put out to the community members and to parents to provide any feedback if they have any, if they don't feel comfortable even just coming in or, you know, talking to me or talking to a board member or something. So we didn't have a huge turnout, but it was about 40 or 45 people, I think, that responded, and you know, there were no major red flags in it. You know, just questions about how people feel about the district in general, different schools, communication, expectations, how welcoming they feel the district is or the schools are, that sort of thing. And there was some good feedback, too. I mean, just some thoughts about things to do differently, maybe with some communication, that sort of thing. So it's always helpful, I think. And I guess just saying out there, too, that if there are people who do have feedback, I hope they know they can provide it to any of us, actually.
Okay. All right. Or join the board.
Or join the board.
There we go.
There's a vacancy, right?
What an idea.
And I think you're going to try to fill that on Friday. Do you have any interest yet? Have you had any people put their names forward?
We did get a letter just today, actually. Okay. And I don't...
And Friday's the deadline, so we'll learn more about who the candidates are at that point. So
yeah, we're excited about that.
You can still get your name in if you're interested for that seat.
Yep, absolutely.
What else should we talk about for tonight's agenda? Are we missing anything major?
Karen is doing a budget presentation tonight.
Oh, right. So are the numbers pretty solid at this point? There was a point at the end of the regular session when I think funding got cut, mm-hmm. the per pupil got cut, and then it went back again.
It's back in now, but at this point they have not presented the full budget to the governor, and so there's been talk about whether the governor will sign it or not. He's kind of said there's some things in there he doesn't want to see, although he's been very supportive of it, of education in general. But it hasn't gone across his desk yet. So we are moving forward. We have confirmed as much as we can confirm as far as numbers and PERS and TERS numbers. And so we are moving forward with a budget that does have the $50 increase in there at this point. That was what we were advised to do, although we will, because we have conservatively budgeted over these last few years. If we had to deal with that not being in there, we originally planned to not have it in there. So it would not be a huge detriment to us. I mean, we've planned for it, and the board has had that focus as well to keep that 10% buffer in there as much as possible for as long as we can so that we can deal with these crazy legislative times.
Well, you'll know by the end of the month, one way or the other, right?
That's right. Yes, in theory, or everybody, all the state employees will be getting pink slips. So I don't know.
I think if they, well, they approved it. So
well, they did, but the governor hasn't signed it, so they're still sort of waiting.
Yeah,
that's kind of the last word that I've heard. But I just think, wow. Anyway, so we're moving forward.
Okay. All right. And what else can you say about the budget for next year? Are you expecting any change in student numbers or anything like that? Or what does it look like?
Our daily attendance numbers are looking good. They're still definitely holding and potentially increasing some. So that's exciting. And even that's still the trend for the next couple of years. So that's great. That's a huge thing for us. Also, that the borough appropriation is remaining the same, which we are very appreciative of as well. There's an increase in health insurance premium. It's not great, but it's not unexpected. And, you know, so other than just kind of what's going on in the state, I don't think we have any major things that are coming at us that are unknown, I think. Mainly just the state's
okay
issues.
Great. Great. And a couple of board policies that you're reading in second reading, and I think those are the major things. Are we missing anything, Mara or Sarah, on your side of things?
Looks like we're still getting through some old textbooks and storage cabinets, but that'll be, yeah, that's pretty insignificant.
And we'll post some of those specific things on Buy Sell Trade probably at the end of this week or next week. And we have had people actually come. It's funny because they've been sitting out here. We're getting prepared to start working on our little mini cafeteria over here. So that's where these huge cabinets came from. And some of them, I mean, they are overbuilt. They're incredible. So
those are going to be available.
If you want them, you're going to need a big trailer. But
okay,
they're, yeah.
And hire the wrestling team.
That's right.
Okay. All right, so 7 o'clock tonight in the high school library, and also no meeting next month. And so after today and this week, your next meeting is in August,
I think. August, yep. Right.
Mm-hmm. Great. And except for the only other thing coming up, sports start up in July again.
They do,
soon,
end of July, right?
27th, I think, is what Jamie told me
the
other day.
So.
I thought, ooh, that guy doesn't get much of a break.
He does not, although he's going back to Hawaii for a few weeks.
Oh,
so.
Good.
All right. Thank you all for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can hear that school board meeting broadcast live at 7 o'clock tonight here on KFSK. Coming up next, Ross Nanook III brings you Street Beat music.